All right, so Advent begins today. It's a season of reflection for Christians all over the world. It's a season which has built-in rituals of happy anticipation. People are often putting up their decorations, and a child will open the little door in their Advent calendars for usually a cheap piece of chocolate. And we light an Advent candle, knowing that we're 1 week closer to Christmas. We make our lists, we check them as we look forward to giving, we look forward to receiving, and of course, we look forward to feasting. Time of Advent, as we know, is associated with waiting, and we wait to celebrate the coming and birth of Jesus. The waiting comes with Advent's nice because it's a defined amount of time. It starts today, and it ends after Christmas Eve, right? And I think of waiting, it's usually pretty open-ended. You wait for deeply personal things. Things like love and marriage without knowing if it'll come, or we wait for children without knowing if we'll conceive. Sometimes people wait for justice to happen. And in my work, actually, I see this all the time. And I oversee a children's therapy program. And they often work with children who've experienced pretty horrendous things. And so I see victims and their families, and they're torn by such an awful event. And they're waiting for the day where they can face the perpetrators in court. And it's not uncommon for victims to quit waiting because they lose hope. In a process, they lose hope in our justice system sometimes, and they just want to move on with their lives. The pain is just too much to bear. We wait to hear for healing, for medical things or mental health or whatever it may be. We wait to hear if we got the job or not. And for those of us in jobs, we wait till the day we can retire, right? And I find myself waiting at times, you know, as I put this talk together, I'm waiting for inspiration to come, right? And sometimes I find myself, I'm waiting to, like, you know, hear from God a little bit, and I find that inspiration. Now, the hardest thing about waiting is not knowing when it's going to end a lot of times, if it's going to end. And while we're waiting, it brings more questions than answers. And one big question I find myself asking, when our hopes and plans aren't coming to fruition, should I change course or should I stick to the plan? The question I ask myself as a board member, over the last year, we're in a time of transition and there's some waiting that kind of happens, and in this time too, waiting to hear on some things and trying to figure things out. We're waiting to hear from God too. People ask, well, what's going to happen? I don't fully know. I don't. I don't know if I'm supposed to know. And so with that being said, please keep the board in your prayers. As we're trying to find a way forward, we're hoping God will be telling us where to go. I take comfort in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So as a board, we're doing our best to try to trust where God is taking us. I don't fully understand everything going on, but I'm confident that our board is doing the best we can with the available energy and capacity we have to follow the path that God is leading us on. Now, there's a couple ways I think we can often experience waiting. And if you're like me, it'll be the first one. Firstly, we can wait in dread. I find myself doing this all the time. I'm not proud of it, but I found myself doing this the other day. I went to the post office, and it's kind of getting busy this time of the year. Christmas is coming and all that. And so I'm in line, and I go during my lunch break. And so I'm a little tight for time. There's a line up, and the post office worker's taking insanely long with the tiniest package of all time. And they put the label on, and oops, I screwed it up. I better print off another label. And so here I am, I'm tapping my foot. I'm starting to think to myself, okay, come on, let's go, let's get the show on the road. And when you're in those moments, you kind of become a different person. No one talks to anyone in these lines. No one is, it's not a time of fellowship at all, right? So here's the lady's kind of creeping up beside me. I'm like, what's your plan here? Is she trying to get in front of me here? Like, you know, and just kind of naturally make my way in front a little bit, kind of, you know, mark my territory, so to speak. And I'm impatient. And so such an experience of waiting in dread can seem frustrating. It can seem empty. It seems isolating. It's almost lonely. And secondly, we can wait with a sense of hope. This is the waiting that Advent teaches us. We wait with hope. We wait with excitement, expectancy. We see children do this very well over the Christmas holidays, and children are so good at this. In Isaiah 40, 30, 31, it shares, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As Christians, we await the hope and coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. And this reminds us that during Advent, we wait with joy, we wait in hope and anticipation for the wonderful event that we're about to experience, the feast of Christmas, the coming of Christ into our lives in new ways. And I think of Advent being a time of reflection. I think that's such an important question we ask ourselves, kind of maybe reflecting on the previous year, you know, how has Christ come into your life in a new way this past year? So maybe at dinner table, you talk about that with your family. I should ask that question to my kids. You know, what has God taught you this year? What's happened for you this year? And I think that's such an important question. We have to continuously ask ourselves. You know, and the scripture in Isaiah points out there's a future where we will run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not be faint. A time where the return of Christ at the end of time, where God will redeem and remake the whole world. And us in it, as a church, we wait during Advent and we look forward to celebrating the fact that God loves us so much. He sent his only son into the world to save us. And this waiting is far from empty, right? It's far from dread. It's full of hope that God promises us as we prepare for Christ in this feast of Christmas. And C.S. Lewis provides a lovely definition of hope. It defines hope for Christians as a continual looking forward to the eternal world. This ultimate hope we have by knowing Jesus, where we can look forward to the gift of eternal life through Jesus. And when there's no hope, it can be pretty daunting. And I was trying to figure out, you know, a story or an example I could share with you, and I got thinking about my time in a small mining community called Snow Lake. Anyone heard of that town? Yeah, a couple people, yeah, okay. Well, and if you ever spend any time in a small mining community, It's a different world. Now, I'll share a little bit about this town. Like, at the time I was there, it was probably 20-something years ago, and there was a mine in town. It was a gold mine, right smack dab in the middle of town. And then there was a mine, I think, about 15 minutes out of town. So they had two mines at the time. The gold mine in town was actually winding down its operations. And it was pretty much a skeleton crew of staff at that time. And so with that, you know, there's like, you can see in the economic impacts of that. The mine out of town was also kind of, there's a lot of rumors going around. Hey, this is, it's almost reached its, I don't know what you call it, a capacity, the lifespan of a mine, I guess. And there's only maybe a couple few years left. So the economic outlook's not looking good. And so what I notice is, you know, as I'm spending time in this community, people didn't really value their homes. The town was kind of becoming, not everyone, like some people absolutely did, but the town was kind of becoming shabby, so to speak. You know, I remember talking with a gentleman there, and I was just kind of talking a bit about the state of the town. I'm like, and what's this about? And he said, you know, this is common in mining towns. You're kind of up and down like that. And he said the town was experiencing a downturn, clearly. And he said during this downturn, the town was cursed. And I was like, cursed? He said it was cursed with hopelessness because it had no future. And it was a pretty profound comment, but like, you know, just like it really captures, you know, in the absence of hope, you know, how much it can impact a whole town. You know, oddly enough, a few years later, you know, there's some new exploration taking place, new deposits were found, and so there's some new investments being made where the community is able to see some progress again. And the homes were filling up again. The school population was full of kids again. There seemed to be kind of an increasing sense of pride in the community again. You know, the town council starts planning for the town's future. There's a future again. So when there's hope, there's optimism, there's potential, there's a future, there's a sense of knowing that, hey, it's going to be okay. And I think that's kind of like the hope we can get with Jesus as well. So I get thinking about like what is my hope for all of us in this time? If you're like myself, I find the older I get, the less I know. And there's many legitimate questions I find myself asking myself, and I think there's many legitimate questions we're constantly asking ourselves that we have yet to figure out, or God has yet to answer to us. And my hope is that, you know, as far as for our church, that we keep seeking, we keep asking, we keep knocking, we keep pursuing answers, and hope that there's something more to the longingness inside of us. This world can't be all there is, that I'm told there is. It's not just some sort of cosmic accident. There's got to be more to it than this. And Jesus promises us this in Matthew 7, verse 7. It's ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And he expands on it in verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Translation, eventually God will answer that prayer if you keep seeking, keep asking, and keep knocking. And the great thing is that Jesus taught us that we can follow before we know it all, right? Before all of our questions are fully answered. And that's a beautiful thing. And this is one of the things I think I like about this church, and as part of our DNA, is that I feel like there's always been a sense of safety that we can explore our faith here. We can ask questions. We can think a bit about the complexities of what we're wrestling with. And we have hope, despite not knowing all of the answers. And so I want to kind of take us into the next part of our service, where we do communion together. So the first week of each month, here at Grand Valley, we take part in communion. We celebrate what Jesus has done for us and the fact that we are made whole and united in him. So before we begin, I'm going to read a passage from Jesus' crucifixion. A passerby named Simon, who is from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers had forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross, they divided his clothes, and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha, look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, then save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. So here at Grand Valley, we have an open table. And communion is for anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ for their salvation. It's not a requirement to partake, no pressure at all. And you're welcome to remain seated if you wish, as our relationship with God and each other is intertwined. The Apostle Paul recommended that we examine ourselves before God to determine whether we should repent for forgiveness that we should seek. So while we do that, we'll play a song, and during that song, I'll invite you to come up to the table, take some bread and pour some juice. It's our practice here at Grand Valley that we pour juice for someone who's with you or behind you. After you have some bread, after you got it, the bread and the juice, return to your seat, and then we'll consume them together. And you can play the song. Yep. Okay. So 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read from chapter 11, 23. "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, he said, oh my goodness, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people. an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. I'm just going to end our time in a quick prayer, and then we'll carry on. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in this time of Advent, a time of reflection, as we take on this busy Christmas season. We're waiting for you to move in our church, move in our lives, move in our community. I ask that you guide us in your plans for us. I ask that you bring us hope and peace in the midst of any of our struggles. We know that you are faithful, and you know that you will never leave us. We know that you will never forsake us. God, help us to trust in your timing. And as we wait patiently for your perfect will to be done in our lives, we know that you are with us every step of the way and that you will never let us go. Thank you for your love, thank you for your grace, and for the hope that only you can provide. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to quote Alan from last week. I think it was really cool. Church starts now. And, go out sharing hope with others in this season. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for following along with me. And God bless and have a great week.